This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are coming to you live from our good friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center here in Lone Tree, 8681 East Lincoln Avenue. You can check out their website, lonetreevet.com, and their number, 303-708-8050. And right up front, let me say, this is the only place our pets have ever been since we have owned them, and that's for over 12 years. Roxy, our golden retriever, and Oliver, my wife's cat. Okay. Notice that distinction, Nancy?
Yeah.
My wife's cat.
Well, welcome, Scott.
Thank you. And that voice you hear is Nancy Moyle, and Nancy is the co-owner here of Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, and a great friends and great supporters of our show, and also Drive Radio with John Rush, which you hear on Saturdays as well. So thanks for letting us come out.
You are so welcome. We're happy to have you, Scott.
I love it here. It's great. And just to see all the pets. And, you know, you take kids to a doctor, man, you're dragging them through the door. Most of the pets here, they're busting it through the doors to get here. And all your staff greets them by name a lot of times. And they're happy to be here.
We hope for that. We strive for that. It's always happy.
Yes, ma'am.
It makes us very happy to see that.
So let's start out. And we had you on the show before. I think it only took me 11 years to get you on radio, so
yeah.
You are my longest working client, but glad we finally got you on. And so let's start out and give just a little bit of overview of what, you know, everything you guys have to offer here.
Sure. We're a complete pet care facility. We have, of course, our main hub, which is our veterinary portion, our medical facility. We've got 7 veterinarians and a support staff of about 15 technicians and assistants. We offer boarding. We've got a complete boarding lodge where we take care of dogs and cats and smaller pets, pocket pets, mm-hmm. ferrets, rabbits, guinea pigs, the little guys. And we've also got a full-service grooming salon. And then, of course, we have our obedience training program, which we call our Canine Academy.
Right.
So we've got about 45 full-time people whose primary goal every day is to take care of pets and, of course, our clients who come along with those pets and hopefully give them better lives.
Right. And, you know, just about everything there you've mentioned, we have certainly taken part in over all the years. And the boarding, I think that's something that's traumatic for most people the first time they leave their pet somewhere. And I just met a lady here in your lobby and kind of gave her personal testimony how long we've been doing this. And so, again, this is a great, great place for all the things that Nancy just mentioned. Of course, from the medical side of things, but when you look into the boarding, grooming, again, Roxy, our golden retriever, loves Jill and loves coming here and always looks great. Now, you mentioned your team, and boy, you can do so many things right. But again, your staff, I watch them as they greet people. It all starts right there is when people walk in that door, doesn't it?
It sure does. And they're kind of the beginning of that experience that we want to really be good for anybody coming in with their pet. Sometimes it's stressful, and we don't want the pet to pick up on that. We don't want the client to pick up on that. So we really work hard, a lot of training, to make that experience a good one, regardless of where they are in this facility.
Right. Now, let's talk about the vet. You seven
sure.
vets here.
5 full-time, 2 part-time.
Talk a little bit about how you choose vets that even you want on your team.
Well, of course, they've got to be a doctor of veterinary medicine. We always hope for a veterinarian, strive for a veterinarian who is not only rock solid on medicine, on the medical side, the surgical side, but also has really good bedside manner. Because that experience in the exam room is a primary opportunity for them to really connect with that pet and the client, and also provide education, answer questions, and give them just great medical care.
Right.
So we want skill and we also want bedside manner.
Sure. Once again, you're listening to Haystack Help Radio. Nancy Moyle is our guest for this segment. She is the co-owner here at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. They're located at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue, right out here in Lone Tree. And their number, 303-708-8050. To understand a little bit more, and they have a great website that really goes in depth of all the things that you need. And you know what I love is when we came in, and Roxy, our Golden's going through some little hip issues at her elderly age, and you know, just to be in there and see how the care, because I mean, I think if you have a pet, and you know, I'm a big dog guy, and I know there's a lot of cat people out there as well, but boy, just to see the time. I mean, I wish our medical doctors spent the amount of time with us when we went on an appointment as your vets do with the animals. I mean, they really take the time to explain to you, the parent, of, you know, what's going on, what are your best options to give that dog or cat the best life.
Yeah, and it's important because there's so many options. There's so many new technologies in veterinary medicine that, you know, the average person may not be aware of what is available. And it's a big part of our job to make sure that our clients know what is available, what options there are for their pet to make their lives better, regardless of how old they are, regardless of the type of pet that it is.
Right. Now, a lot of products around us here.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times people just go to their local stores, pick up the treats, the toys, all the different things. You and I have had several conversations here and of just looking at all the different things of ingredients in food. Talk about just the importance of, okay, you may train your pet well, you may take care of them medically well, but if you don't feed them with the right stuff, you're going to be asking for problems. So
yeah.
Talk about that nutrition side.
Well, the nutrition side is pretty big because it's one of the key components of really good preventive care. The products that we carry in our facility are what we call veterinary grade diets, and these are diets, food products that have to be prescribed and recommended by a veterinarian. You're not going to find them in your Pets R Us or your normal pet store. They've been clinically tested with extensive blood work, urinalysis, a lot of different types of ways of testing these products to make sure that the ingredients in them are actually in them and they do what they say they're supposed to do. Several of these diets are actually medicinal and they treat medical conditions as well as cure them.
Right.
So these are products that we're confident in, our veterinarians recommend, and you get really good results from them. They focus on the research and development versus the heavy-duty marketing, which is what you see with a lot of over-the-counter products that you can buy at the grocery store, some of the specialty pet food stores. They're big on marketing, but there's not so much behind the marketing in terms of guaranteeing that what they say on the label is actually in the product or that is actually effective.
Right. Now, we're going to be talking a lot today on the obedience side of things in
yes.
your Canine Academy. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can set up a clinic. You can just do the medical side. Why did you feel like this was an important part to be a part of Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center on the behavioral side?
Well, it was sort of a logical thing under our general philosophy of complete pet care every day, all at one location. Dogs are a big part of the companion world,
sure.
and we wanted to help make their lives better and ensure that our clients have a better life with their dog. So we've been committed to having an obedience training program in this facility since day one, and we've stuck with it simply because it is beneficial to clients, especially beneficial to pets, and it also contributes to good health.
Right. Absolutely.
Happy, well-behaved pet is a healthier pet.
Yes. Now, one thing that you guys do a little different, too, it's not just about your convenience of Monday through Friday. You guys are open on Saturday and Sunday,
yes.
and that is a huge help.
Yeah, we've done that since day one, just simply because not everybody can come in on a Monday or a Tuesday. Most people work, And it's not easy to get here before we close, although we are open till 8 in the evening, Monday through Friday. Weekend appointments are a big deal, and we offer all of our services on Saturday. The only thing we don't have available is grooming on Sunday.
Okay.
But we're busy on Saturdays and Sundays, and we don't charge emergency fees. I mean, these are our normal business hours. We take normal appointments. Mm-hmm. The only thing that we do not do on a Saturday or Sunday are routine surgeries. We will do emergencies, but we don't do routine. We don't schedule dentals and spays and neuters on weekends.
Right. And, you know, what? How do you guys, let me ask you this, how do you guys stay up on all the different current things? Because over the years, we've had Roxy on some different things, and this deal we're going through right now with her, some drugs change, different things mm-hmm. like that. How do you guys stay up on that cutting edge, of, so to speak, of just knowing what's best out there?
It's just constant. Our veterinarians do extensive continuing education. Of course, the pharmaceutical suppliers are always giving us information on new products, research, things that are going on the pharmaceutical side. And, you know, we've always been a very forward-thinking facility, so we're always looking on the horizon. What is new? What is better? What are the other options that are available? And if we can, we bring them to this facility because right. we want to pass that on to our clients and the pets.
Absolutely. Again, it's Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, 8681 East Lincoln Avenue. Their number is 303-708-8050. And you know what? Come out and just take a tour of the facility. And again, if it's a tour, must have some size to it. So I think it's 13,000 square feet.
Am I? 16.
16,000. Okay. 16,000 square feet. And a great, great place. And look, you want places you can trust, especially with our pets. I'm telling you, this is it. We have done it for over 12 years with both of ours. And I'm telling you, you will not find finer care in the whole veterinary area. And so, and again, with the boarding, the grooming, what we're going to be talking about today more, a lot with the Canine Academy, a lot of different things that they do, and I promise you they will take great care of your pets. We're going to hit a break a couple of minutes early. We're going to come back with Eric Gillespie, and he is the resident obedience training instructor in the Canine Academy. If you've got any questions about dog training, we'll even take your calls. 303-477-5600, 303-477-5600. This is Haystack Help Radio.
Tired of being forgotten, disrespected, and not listened to when applying for a mortgage? Do you always get someone new when checking your loan status? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We have been serving Colorado since 2001. We are closing loans in 13 to 15 days. We offer paperless applications, ability to view your loan status 24/7, loans designed to fit your needs, not the bank's, with customized terms, whether purchase or refinance, all at low rates. Take AIM for quick pre-approvals, cash out to pay off high credit card debt, and see how hundreds of our clients are saving thousands in excess interest and payments, all while owning their home faster. Find out how. Call now, 720-895-0500, and talk to your personalized mortgage professional from start to finish. 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500, where it is all about you. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers KLZ listeners complete pet care services every day, all at one location. It's so much more than a clinic and so convenient. Their expert staff is always happy to help your pet have the happy and healthy life it deserves. Schedule a medical checkup for your beloved companion or take the first step toward a better behaved buddy by signing your pup up for obedience training. Did you know that if your sweet kitty needs grooming, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is one of the few facilities that offers grooming for both dogs and cats. And if you're planning a vacation, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers boarding for dogs, cats, and other small pets so you can take your vacation without worry, knowing that your four-legged family member's home away from home has a fully equipped medical center on site. Learn more about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center at LoneTreeVet.com or call 303-708-8050.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical you'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
Lynn Lau Chevrolet is having its year-end clearance sale on all new 2017 Chevrolets. Other Chevy dealers are offering 20% off. We're going to top that. We're offering 30% off on new Chevrolets. Lynn Lau Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at LynnLauChevy.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. We're coming to you live from Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue. Once again, their number, 303-708-8050, 303-708-8050, LoneTreeVet.com. And I want to thank Nancy Moyle again for inviting us to come out and be here today. And known this gentleman for a number of years as well. He has been here a long time, Eric Gillespie. And Eric is the resident obedience instructor of the Canine Academy. So, Eric, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Man, you got a great job just working with dogs. I mean, that is so cool because I'm a huge dog lover. And that's a cool deal. Let's talk a little bit about you.
Sure.
And how you first got into this.
Well, I started out in Seattle, Washington. Dog training has changed quite a bit over the last 20 years, which is when I started. When I started training out there, it was at a place called Academy of Canine Behavior. I started going there because I had a kind of nasty dog named Lou. I was able to train him, teach him some positive behaviors, learn how to redirect him, understand dog behavior, read dog behavior. But most of their techniques were positive punishment, meaning a lot of corrections, a lot of correction collars and such. I saw a new trend in training that was much more effective and honestly a lot more fun to train. So when I moved to Colorado, I really wanted to focus on doing a lot more training with scientific-based method and a lot more positive reinforcement stuff.
Now, looking at the brochure that talks about the Canine Academy, it says, you know, one thing you do there is you identify and solve behavioral problems.
Correct.
Can people drop off kids here?
No.
Okay.
I don't train kids.
But really identifying that. And so, you know, a lot of times, man, we're all excited. We get that new puppy. And I'm telling you, you know, while a lot of the training is for the animal, a lot of it can be for the owners, too, to
Absolutely.
Know how to do some things. Because you can make some, I would think, you can make some critical mistakes in those early few weeks and few months that, I don't want to say ruin the dog, but I mean, make
you
the
can
dog,
say that.
I mean, just make it very difficult for you.
Absolutely. You know, I think the biggest mistakes people make are they use a lot of stuff and training techniques that haven't been proven by anybody. It's just simply a regurgitation or repetition of what the trainer before them did. And we weren't using science until, you know, Jean Donaldson came along in 1996 is when she kind of got real popular with the book Culture Clash. And once she kind of took off, I think more people went the positive route. As far as making mistakes with raising puppies go, you know, that the high imprint stages of a dog's life, typically 8 to 12 weeks, depending upon the dog and stuff, is a really important time. That's when you've got a little bit of wiggle room, so to speak. As far as making the big mistakes, I think the biggest mistake people make is a lot of punishment, you know? Remember, I try to remind people that you're trying to have a bond with this dog. I think sometimes that the companion in companion dog training has kind of gone out the window. Mm-hmm. We really need to focus on that. It's easier to prevent those mistakes than it is to fix them later.
Right. And I'm just going to hit some different areas here in this first segment, and we'll kind of get to some specific things. But, you know, a lot of times you see things, too. You leave a dog at home, and, you know, they get in the trash or have an accident. You come home 8 hours later, 5 hours later, and then, you know, get on to the dog. You always say, do they remember
Absolutely not.
They're doing? So, again, that's a training thing for the parent, right?
Absolutely. So how we can explain that behavior, back to what you were saying, you know, identifying and solving behavioral problems. First of all, the dog doesn't understand what they did was wrong. They understand that doing it in front of you is probably a bad idea.
Right.
But let's look at the whole concept. And Jean Donaldson covers this in her book that she was written in 1996, Culture Clash. And what we know now is when we punish a dog for doing something, especially like peeing in the house, pooping in the house, whatever, they understand that peeing or pooping in the house in front of a human is
right.
a bad idea. They don't understand the behavior is bad. Now, when we come home, the dog greets us at the door, head down, ears back, and they don't understand what they've done is wrong. They understand we're unhappy. Mm-hmm. So they know that that we're unhappy. They don't know the behavior is what did that.
Right.
The other thing to remember is when we leave our dogs at home alone, which is something we don't teach dogs anymore in our culture, when we leave dogs at home alone, that's a stressful experience if they're not used to it, meaning we haven't taught them to do that from a young age.
Sure.
When dogs are faced with stressful experiences and stressful environments, they do things that we call displacement activity. And displacement activity is just stuff that dogs do to change motivation, chewing stuff up, inappropriate urination. All those are displacement activities. So really, the dog's just responding how an animal responds to stress, and then we get mad at them and stress them out even more,
right.
which probably makes the situation worse.
Right. Eric Gillespie is our guest. We are coming to you live from Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. I'm going to be talking about the Canine Academy here in just a few minutes, but are there some breeds that you just say, somebody calls you and you go, what kind of dog you have? They tell you and you go, okay. These dogs do great. I mean, this breed normally does good. Or are there some, the minute they mention that breed, you're going like, oh, I wish they'd have called somebody else. Because they're just almost impossible.
You know, there's certainly breeds that aren't my favorite to work with. And I'm certainly not going to say that on the air. but I would honestly say that, you know, one of my favorite breeds in the whole world to work with is a pit bull. American
really?
Pit Bull Terrier, American Staffordshire Terrier. You can... usually trust the temperament. They temperament test at 88% passing. Labs are at 92% typically. Golden Retrievers are at 86%. An American Pit Bull Terrier, American Staffordshire Terrier, those are breeds of dogs that I enjoy working with. I enjoy working with all dogs, but I find that Pit Bull breeds tend to be just the right amount of smart and just the right amount of active. But there's not a whole lot of dogs that people call me up and I don't like to work with.
Right.
I generally just enjoy working with all of them.
What's a dog with the general low IQ?
Is Afghan that a hound. Afghan hounds and sight hounds typically IQ test the lowest. How they measure IQ in dogs is the amount of repetitions it takes for a dog to reach a learned status. Science tells us that learned behavior is at 90%. So once a dog's doing a behavior 9 times out of 10, meaning a cued behavior, we can assume that they have learned that behavior in that particular environment or context.
Right.
And I think Afghan hounds, and this is supported by some studies, Afghan hounds are certainly a breed of dog that that test low.
Right. You always hear the phrase, we've all heard it, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Okay. So is there an age that you say, okay, brain is full, you're never going to teach them to do that? I'm telling you, I was watching this America's Got Talent, this show the other night.
Sarah Carson.
Yeah. Dude, these dogs are doing amazing things.
Let me tell you about Sarah Carson's really cool. She's heard me talk about Sarah. I met Sarah Carson, who's the lady with the border collies that you're talking about, at the APDT conference last year. I've been talking about her ever since. She does an amazing job of making herself the reinforcer. When you see her on stage, and I talked to her in Las Vegas the night before the conference started. I didn't know who she was. The next morning, I went to the conference. She was the keynote speaker. Opening speaker. And I spent all evening just hanging out talking with her. The cool thing about her is she talks to her dogs. She has a relationship with her dogs. She doesn't need to constantly use food because she's the reinforcer. So that's what I'm talking about when we say, you know, companion dogs.
Right.
That's a companion dog because those dogs would do anything for her because she's trained them with a lot of kindness and respect.
So don't give up on a dog.
Never give up.
Just keep trying. All right.
We've got
a couple young ladies here going to be on with us here shortly and talk a little about testimonials here. Well, Krista, let's go ahead and bring you up. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So you guys high-fived each other there. Our radio audience couldn't see. So tell us about your dog. What's your dog's name?
My current dog is Ruger.
Ruger?
Ruger.
Okay, cool.
He's the third dog that Eric and I have worked with together.
Wow.
Over the last 8 years, and over the last 5 years, we've worked very closely together on a whole bunch of different projects. But for 8 years, we've been good friends.
So what age did you bring Ruger in?
His age, we're guessing 9-ish months. He was a rescue.
Okay, cool.
So based on behavior.
And that's
behavior.
A great thing right there. Let's start right there, getting a rescue dog. That's
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll never not rescue ever again.
Yeah. All right, so tell us, what was he or she?
He okay. Always he for
always
me.
Always he. Okay. What was he like when you first got him?
Oh, he was a hot mess. He was, to be fair, am I wrong? He had separation anxiety to a level where he was literally a danger to himself. The attention span of half a goldfish.
Oh, wow.
You're being nice.
I am being nice. He was a hot, hot mess. But it's been just over 2 years that I've had him now, 2.5 years. And
I saw him let you out. He drove you here. See, that was me. I know.
Yeah, he's come absolutely leaps and bounds. He's not afraid of his crate. He's pretty good in the car. He's really good in the car when he's tired. His socializing has gone super good. He's absolutely in love with Lulu. Follow her off a cliff.
Yep.
And Lulu is?
My dog.
Your
Eric's
dog.
Boxer.
Okay. All right. So there's a relationship going on.
Oh, yeah. It's adorable.
Okay.
They love
adorable.
Each other.
Right. So, Eric, where do you start? Get a dog, 9 months mm-hmm. old, you know, nothing about. What are the first few steps that you do to even learn that dog's personality?
First of all, like exercise, a lot, lots and lots of exercise. Once a dog's tired, they're much less likely to be so stimulated by other things in their environment. So my first thing would be, let's figure out what this dog likes. What can we use for reinforcers? Can we use exercise for reinforcers? Can we use food for reinforcers? Can we use the person for a reinforcer? That would be the first thing to do, is figure out what makes this dog go and what he'll do stuff for. The next thing we do is start to teach basic behaviors. My very favorite first behavior to teach is leave it. Meaning teaching a dog to turn around and look at you when you say the words leave it. I think it's a great way to show the dog the concept of learning and isolate a behavior and reinforce it. Wow. And then from there, it would probably be lots of work on loose leash walking. Come here. You find that people that have a really good relationship with their dogs don't really have to worry about come here a lot.
Right.
Krista can say come here to Ruger and he'll run straight at her, almost take her
running.
Knees out.
Really? Sometimes he does.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'd start from, you know,
right.
And then build from there. But I think the most useful behaviors are leave it, come here, and teaching him to walk
right.
next to you.
You know, we do a show on Saturdays called Sportsman of Colorado, so we do some hunting, and we're out with bird dogs and all the different things. And to see those dogs work is a beautiful thing. And like you say, I've been with some where the handler is constantly talking to the dog.
Mm-hmm.
We got a guy we hunt with, John Augustine. He never says a word. I mean, the dogs just know his commands. He can blow a whistle. He can do like, you know, extend a left arm out or right arm out, and the dog knows to go right, to go left. And, I mean, great relationship
sure.
with the dog. So same way. And I think it's important what you just said there, too, is the commands. And we're going to get into that when we come back from break. But just, you know, all the different commands that we give. I mean, you can't sit there and read off a paragraph of things to the dog. They're not going to get that. So you've got to come up with good, consistent commands.
Correct.
To get the dog to understand as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the words are inconsequential. People train dogs in Portuguese, French, Spanish, German. It doesn't matter. We just have to make sure that we're using words that are appropriate for us so that we can use them properly.
Right.
And then we need to teach the dogs what it means. In regards to, you know, the relationship stuff, I would like to bring up one guy that I had in my class because he affected me a ton. His name's Steve, and he was 6'3", 6'2". Were you in his class? Anyway, the guy was great. He was he talked to his dog the whole time. His dog's name was Dexter. And the first couple of weeks, just like I was saying, he really focused on that relationship. And when Dexter was walking next to him, it was, good boy, Dexter, good boy, good boy, good boy, the whole time. And he slowly was able to taper off giving that much affection, that much attention, that much reinforcement. But boy, those guys had a best relationship, and that
wow.
dog just loved Steve.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool watching this big, huge guy talk to his dog like that. It was really
wow.
neat.
All right. We're coming to you live from Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center again at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue. If you want more information on the K9 Academy or other services here at Lone Tree, give them a call, 303-708-8050. You can also check out their website, LoneTreeVet.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few things. Why do puppies do what they do? And we're also going to talk about socialization with our pets. And, you know, dog parks, hey, they're a very popular thing here in our surroundings here in Colorado. So what about dog parks and the training there? So we'll be back with more right after this.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
I was hurt in a car accident. The bills were piling up and my insurance company was giving me the runaround. I didn't know what to do, but then I called a lawyer I saw on TV. That lawyer had all the tools and the knowledge to get me $1.2 million.
Whoa. When you're hurt in an accident, you need Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law, a lawyer that's going to take your case seriously and not treat you like some get-rich-quick scheme. Serious car accidents are traumatic and can completely disrupt your life. Kevin Flesh has the integrity to help you get your life back on track. He will fight for you to get what you deserve, but he won't treat you like a lottery ticket. After you've been in an accident, call Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law at 303-806-8886 and make sure you will get someone who will do the right thing and get your life back.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman's of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
Rush to Reason, Denver's afternoon rush, today at 3. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. We are coming to you live from our good friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, 8681 East Lincoln Avenue. Listen, these folks do it right. They're open Saturdays and Sundays for your convenience as well. 303-708-8050, 303-708-8050. LoneTreeVet.com is the website. And, again, everything under one roof here that you need for your pet. And, again, want to thank Nancy Moyle for having us out today. Eric Gillespie is our guest. Eric is over there, K9 Academy. He's their resident obedience instructor. And Eric, I wanted to hit this at the beginning, but I assume some certifications come with this, not just experience. So,
correct.
Talk about some of the certifications you have.
Sure. So, back when I got into this business and career 20 years ago, there wasn't really any standardization. There wasn't much at all. Nowadays, there is. There's certified professional dog trainer. It seems to be one of the certifications. I am what's called certified professional dog trainer knowledge assess, which means I've taken the test. It's a 250-question, multiple-answer question test. And you also have to submit some letters of reference. And it's not a very easy test. You have to understand operant conditioning. You have to understand desensitizing. You have to understand counter all sorts of stuff, counter conditioning. And also the ethology of the dog, where they came from, husbandry, all sorts of good stuff like that. Right. I'm also an AKC, Canine Good Citizen Evaluator. So I can certify a dog as a Canine Good Citizen, which is a test that's very similar to some therapy dog tests.
Great.
So those are my certifications.
Super. Now, I mentioned before, Krista mentioned that, you know, for rescue dogs. I mean, again, I think a great idea. I think it's a win-win for everybody. So people should not worry about, I mean, you don't, whether you get it from a breeder, whether you get it from, I mean, a dog's a dog pretty much most time. But from the shelters, I mean, they may have some, been through some bad experiences in their life.
Absolutely.
So, again, that initial meeting you have with him, are you usually able to tell some of the, you know, hang-ups maybe a pet may have if, you know, boy, they were just, you know, I hate the word abused, but they were just abused?
Well, there's different kinds of abuse. I think that there's abuse that's physical and screaming and yelling and stuff like that. And sometimes I think that abuse is just lack of socialization, meaning lack of exposures for the dog. The dogs that I see, dogs are amazing.
Yeah.
Dogs that I see with the real issues are the ones that really weren't exposed to anything, meaning they never saw people. They were never treated by kindness with people. Even dogs that have had, you know, had horrible experiences with people generally are pretty good with people.
Right.
And I'm speaking specifically of socialization between dog and human. In regards to, you know, noticing behaviors, it certainly depends on the age of the dog. We do know with a lot of certainty that the 10-week window is very, very important. 10 to 12 weeks, even John Rogerson, Ian Dunbar agree, which is saying a lot, that's the window that dogs become species specific.
Wow.
So a dog that spends time from 8 to 12 weeks and only sees dogs, they're probably going to be great with dogs, but they might not be that great with people. Dogs that are only around people from 8 to 12 weeks, they're probably going to be great with people, not so much with dogs. Mm-hmm. So there has to be a balance. I think we stress our socialization and our culture of dogs in America way too much around dogs.
Right.
Dogs already know how to be dogs, so we don't really need to teach them. Playing with dogs until a point of 6 to 8 months, I think, is a great social experience. Like Krista and I have play dates with our dogs where they get to hang out and run around and play. But I think that we really need to focus more of our socialization on dog-to-human socialization.
Yeah, absolutely. Have another client of Eric's. Kristen, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. So your dog is?
Milo.
Milo. All right. It's so cool. How do people come up with all the names? You know, I mean, when we first got our golden, she was, I think, 6, 7 months old. But a lady had bought Roxy as a puppy, but then her house burnt down. So she didn't have a place for her, so she took it back to the breeder to see if they would help sell. And so we went to go get a little puppy, saw Roxy at 6 months old, then, man, we just said, we want her. But her name was Lady, then, what they had named her. And we're like, yeah, we don't like that. So I don't know. We just came with the name Roxy. But it's cool, Milo and all. Yeah, what was yours?
Ruger,
yeah, and I love Ruger, yeah, so that's cool. So tell us your story, Kristen.
So we rescued Milo when he was 3. I wanted, of course, a lab or golden. It was my first dog, and we went to the rescue, and this cattle dog pit bull mix that was not the cutest dog ever climbed into my lap, and that was love at first sight. And
wow.
So I'd never had a dog. I was 22, and we took him to PetSmart training classes thinking this is what you're supposed to do with a dog. The trainer there had no idea that he was dog aggressive. We didn't either. And it turned out just an awful situation of me one night in the PetSmart parking lot crying as Milo's pooping on a bush. And some lady came up to me and said, "You need to go see Eric at Lone Tree Vet." And I had no idea who he was. And so I found him, made an appointment, and came in. And Eric did a test with Milo and confirmed that he was dog aggressive and said, you know, you have the choice to work with him and see what kind of life you guys can have together. Or, you know, you can put him down because he is dog aggressive. And we put him through the canine boot camp, 2-week boot camp with Eric. And he came home a different dog. Wow. And as I always tell people, Eric is a dog whisperer. I don't know how he does it, but the fact that he could get across to Milo that he didn't have to be dog aggressive, he had a good life now and everything just completely changed our relationship from there on out.
Wow. Now, how long has that been since you had him in training?
7 years ago.
7 years. Wow.
Yep. And Eric is one of Milo's favorite people in the whole world. Every time he sees them, he goes crazy for him.
Right. No, I've been across the street at Cabela's, I live over here in Highlands Ranch, Lone Tree area. So, you know, been at the corner, and all of a sudden I see Eric walking dogs, you know, here at the corners, and being outside and all that. So it is something that you can tell. And sometimes, when I'm seeing him over Cabela's, I mean, the dog hadn't been around him that much, but they already know. And animals sense this. You hear this with horses a lot, where they say they sense fear from people. And I think animals can tell, man, if you care about them, you know, which means so much. And he was 3 years old?
He was 3 years old when I got him. They think. There's no way to tell, of course.
Wow.
But he was an old guy at the time.
Yeah. So once you did the boot camp, mm-hmm. was there any other things that were needed, or that cured all the things?
There wasn't really anything needed, but as Eric said earlier, you know, we wanted to develop that relationship. So we've done Companion Dogs Essentials 1, Companion Dogs Essentials 2, Barcore outside, Agility inside. We've done, you know, he has a field trip class, which was one of the most amazing classes because it teaches you how to take the dog out into a public environment and socialize with them. So every class Eric's offered, we've done. He was able to certify Milo as a canine good citizen after that 2-week boot camp. And I was in awe at that point.
A proud parent.
I was in tears many times with him.
We need a bumper sticker. You know, my kid's A+ dude. We need a bumper. My dog is a certified citizen. Yeah, that's what we need.
Exactly.
Cool. Once again, we're coming to you live from Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, 8681 East Lincoln Avenue. Look, your pet deserves the very best, okay? Don't be yelling at your dog all the time. It's not fair to you, not fair to them. Get them some training. Call today, 303-708-8050, 303-708-8050, and their website, LoneTreeVet.com. So, Eric, I said before the break, why do puppies do what they do? And we first got Roxy, and I mean, we did. I mean, I grew up with dogs, but Victoria and I, we didn't have a dog, and we did not dog-proof the backyard very well, so we had some landscaping things all the way around. And Roxy, you know, I mean, she chewed off all the rubber edging around everything. And then she used to love to do laps in the backyard. She did that, and then cut her back leg. Then we had to bring her up here, you know, and get her all stitched up, and they took care of it. Man, those first few months were like, oh, my Lord, we're going to kill this dog. You know, I mean, of course not. Realistically, we love her. And, I mean, but it's just like, what are we going to do? And now, I mean, best dog ever, you know. So why do puppies, let's just say, act out sometimes?
Sure.
And, you know, so much of this relates to kids, too. You hear of kids, you know, why do kids act out when they're young? I mean, I don't know how much is related there, but why do puppies do what they do?
They're trying to figure out what works. The main first rule of all dog training is dogs only do behaviors that work. If it's reinforced, rewarded, they'll do it again. We also have to understand that how much stress puppies are under. When they're at home and they're in a backyard, there's nothing to do. The humans are inside, and it's boring. So, yeah, they chew stuff up. They run around. And, again, we can call those displacement activities. Mm-hmm. It's just stuff that dogs do to change motivation. And we also have to understand that it's probably a pretty safe activity to engage in if there's no human around.
Right.
So I think the best way to answer the question of why do puppies do what they do, if they're doing it again, it's because it works.
Sure.
It works somehow. They got something out of it. A good example, why do dogs bark at things going by their house? For years we said, oh, it's territorial. These dogs are just being really territorial. If we truly believe that, we would have so many territorial dogs in the world. But let's analyze that as a behavior. The dog's bored. That would be the antecedent or the cause. The behavior is, I bark at the people going by the house, and the consequence is they go away. What a fun game. So we call that a self-rewarding behavior, right? So dogs are bored in the backyard, and they do this behavior over and over again. Now, this behavior can be seemingly pretty harmless, doesn't matter. However, if this dog's practiced that 7 times a day, or 10 times, that's 70 times, 10 days, and then let's say that a kid throws that ball over a fence, And the dog barks, but the kid doesn't go away. Now we're dealing with frustration because that kid's coming into their backyard. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand that if a behavior stops working, it can be a frustrating experience for a dog.
All right. See, Roxy, she lays out on our kind of front deck up on the upstairs. Got this one young man walks his dog by. And we thought it's because she was 12, which would put her, what, 90 years old or whatever. We're like, she's in that stage of, get off my lawn. You're on my lawn. Don't go to the bathroom in my yard. So, yeah, it's funny to see. And now, we mentioned dog parks. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about just that behavioral side of there. And, again, I have to go back to the parent, we'll call it. Some people are greater at handling their dogs in dog parks. Others go there to see other people, I think, and just let their dogs do whatever. So any tips in the dog park?
Yeah, it's a loaded question. Most certified professional dog trainers do not recommend dog parks, myself included.
Okay.
I go to a dog park about once every 2 or 3 weeks with either my friend Krista or my friend Janie. I go at 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, usually, or Thursday. Typically, there's nobody else there. However, sometimes there are. Kristen and I were there last week, and my dog, my boxer Lulu, was attacked twice. Both times she was attacked, the person said, "Oh my gosh, that's the third time she's done that." Okay? So why are we taking aggressive dogs to dog parks? So that's step number one. You know, that's one reason not to go to dog parks, just for your dog's safety. The big picture here, though, is our country right now has a horrible leash aggression problem, or leash reactivity problem is what they're calling it now. And if you think about it, it really does make sense if we analyze the behavior. If we take dogs to dog parks and we teach them to leave our side and go play with other dogs, and that's their main stimulating, most fun thing in the whole world for them, and then on Saturday afternoon we put them on a leash and every time they walk by a dog we pull them away, that becomes a very frustrating experience.
Right.
When dogs are frustrated, just like I was talking about a little bit before, when dogs are frustrated, they act out and become aggressive or reactive. And that's why we have such a problem with leash reactivity in this country right now. My suggestion to people, if they really want to have a great relationship with their dog, try to avoid dog parks and take that time and spend it with your dog. Throw the ball for them. Teach them to drop things for you so they're learning to share items with you. Mm-hmm. They're much, much less likely to guard stuff. I also use something called a flirt pole. All a flirt pole is a 6-foot-long stick. Yeah, drill a hole through it.
I saw you hand one to a lady when we were setting
up. I give
up.
Them away to people here. I ask for a donation. If somebody wants to give me a donation, that's fine. I can make more flirt poles. But in general, I want people to have a useful toy to exercise their dog while spending time with them. Wow. It's a giant cat toy.
Sure.
Where it came from, dog fighters used to use it as ways to keep their dogs fit for dog fights. I stole their idea, and I use it for companion animals now and pet dogs. It's a great way to get your dog tired. Both of my dogs can be exhausted in about 10 minutes with a foot pole.
We got to hit a break here. But, you know, I think it's just like I've related kids a lot. I think dogs like the structure of it. I think dogs like the training aspect of it.
They love doing stuff.
They're getting their time with you.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I think they want. I really
Isn't that
do.
Why we got dogs?
Absolutely. 303-708-8050. Call today. You know what? It'll be fun for you. It'll be fun for the dog. And it'll be great for both of you. You can't beat that combination. 303-708-8050. LoneTreeVet.com.
Don't fall for gimmick ads when choosing your insurance coverage. Group Insurance Analyst has been Colorado's insurance superstore since 1984, where customers can compare and shop for all of their insurance needs. At GIA Insurance, their brokers have no allegiance to any particular health, auto, or home insurance company. Take advantage of their experience, expertise, and exceptional client service. For your free quote, call today at 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162. Visit their website, e-gia.com, or stop by their office at 44th and Garrison Street in Wheat Ridge. Group Insurance Analyst is an official Haystack Help registered company.
Tired of walking into your local gun store and seeing the same old thing? Hey, let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. You'll find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. Rampart Firearms is also a great stop for all of your hunting and shooting needs. Shotgun, rifle, or pistol, from predator hunting to your next big game trip, Rampart Firearms is located in Douglas County at the foot of the Rockies, just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe in Sedalia. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 7, and hey, you'll only pay 4% tax on your purchase. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Or visit them at rampartfirearms.com.
When it comes to retirement planning, one of our biggest fears is running out of money. Have you sat down with a financial professional to help you plan for a comfortable retirement? It's never too soon or too late for retirement planning. Call Dot Mechtenberg today at 303-940-7807. That's 303-940-7807. Or visit dotmechtenberg.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC.
Need a new pickup? Lynn Lyle Chevrolet is having its Silverado year-end clearance sale, with Silverado starting at just $26,900. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet always has the lowest prices. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at LynnLyleChevy.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. We are coming to you live from our great friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, 8681 East Lincoln Avenue. Their number, 303-708-8050, 303-708-8050. LoneTreeVet.com is the website. Our guest today, Eric Gillespie, and Eric is the resident obedience instructor, and we've been focusing a lot today on the Canine Academy. But again, if you'll go to their website, LoneTreeVet.com, you'll see all the things they have to offer with boarding, grooming, of course, all the veterinary side, medical side, but just a great, great place. And again, personal testimony, we've been coming here for over 12 years with our pets, and absolutely, I kind of call it the Sky Ridge Hospital for Veterinary Medical. So, I mean, you walk in, it's a nice place, 16,000 square feet, as a matter of fact. So hope you'll come by and see them and give Eric a call today. And, hey, help your dog out, help yourself out, and get some training. Again, that number, 303-708-8050. So, Eric, our last segment here, man, we're going to have to be doing this again. But a couple of things I want to touch on real here. What are some of the good tools to use in training that you use? And then, if you want to talk about a couple of things you despise that people use, you know.
I think it's important to understand that there are really two different types of punishment. There's positive punishment and there's negative punishment. Positive punishment means you're adding an aversive to decrease the likelihood of behaviors repeated, such as a pinch collar, a shock collar, a choke chain. Negative punishment means you're going to take something away, or withdraw something, or limit access to something to decrease the likelihood that a dog will do a behavior again. Okay, so both punishments are ways to get rid of it. I think the most important tool to use in dog training is reinforcers, be it food, relationship, play, whatever. I love using a long line, so a 40-foot long leash to make sure that the dog will come to you. That way they can't fail because they can't really go very far. As far as harness and stuff goes, I love Wonder Walkers. We sell them here. Lone Tree Vet has awesome tools of all kinds, but Wonder Walkers are what I use a lot. It's a front attaching harness. It sits really high up on the dog's chest, so we don't have to worry about it kind of compromising the elbows.
Or choking them, because you hear some dogs getting out in front of their, person walking there.
Exactly. That won't happen on a Wonder Walker so much. What that's called, just to name the behaviors, opposition reflex. All that means is when we pull, they pull. When they pull, we pull. So the big thing in training a dog with a Wonder Walker to walk on a loose leash is make sure that leash is always loose and you turn a lot. Be unpredictable, so your dog has to look at you. They look at you, they get a treat, they're more likely to look at you, right? Or affection or whatever. As far as tools that I don't like to use, you know, I'm not a big shock collar guy. I don't use shock collars. I have use shock collars. I've seen shock collars used very effectively. I went up to a rattlesnake aversion class, this summer with a guide dog, a seeing eye dog named Ronan. And yes, Ronan was shocked and he was petrified and he was in pain and he was scared. I can guarantee that Ronan will never get bit by a rattlesnake. Positive punishment can work very well. Mm-hmm. in that context, I think that's great. This lady can't even see a rattlesnake if she's coming up on one.
Sure.
So I think that was an excellent tool. So I think a lot of different tools have places. I wouldn't use positive punishment as a way to train a dog to be a companion mm-hmm. or just to walk on a loose leash. There's better ways to do it. We also, I think, need to understand that anything can be a punisher. It's really up to the learner what a punisher is, meaning that if we put a dog on a leash, we're punishing them. We're withholding freedom from them.
Yep.
We're withholding things from there. That from them, that's punishment. So we have to understand the kinds of punishment there are out there, and we also have to use them appropriately mm-hmm. and properly.
So, Krista, you were with us a little earlier, and again, if you're just joining us, we're coming to you live from Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, and Krista is a client of Eric's and has worked with him, I guess, quite a bit mm-hmm. here at the K9 Academy. So, 60 seconds, why should people bring their pet here instead of some of the other just department store type animal places?
To say it nicely, the quality of education that you're going to receive here versus mm-hmm. big box,
right?
We'll say, there is no comparison. You've got, I think everybody who works with animals for the most part has a love for animals. And like Kristen said earlier, Eric is a dog whisperer, but it's so much more than that. It's the pure love for canines.
Yep. Hard to go wrong there when you got that for sure. Okay, about a minute and a half left here, and again, we are going to do this again because this is some great information. I think we can all use it. When we talk about dominance, the question is, you know, is dominance useful in companion dog training? And
no.
I know it's a loaded question again, and again, we're going to do this again, but just talk about that.
Sure. We threw out most dominance models as a scientific training community years ago, at least a decade.
Okay.
Nowadays, there was even a guy out there named Ray Coppinger. I think he passed away recently. He blew everybody's mind at the APDT conference because he walked out and said, dominance doesn't exist. There's no such thing. We don't even know if dogs evolved from wolves or if wolves evolved from dogs. We just don't know. But certainly dominance is a human being construct that we have used for decades to describe a family. My family didn't have a dominant mother. My wife is not dominant to me, nor am I dominant to her. We have a shared relationship where we share resources.
Right.
I think that making sure that people can share resources with their dogs is the best way to have a great relationship.
Gotcha. Well, Krista, thanks for coming out.
Absolutely.
I know Kristen doesn't have her mic on now, but Kristen, thank you as well. And Milo and Ruger are probably very happy that they are in your home. So thank you.
Thank you.
And Eric, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to doing this again. And again, a huge thanks to Nancy Moyle for having us out today. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, 8681 East Lincoln Avenue, 303-708-8050. Call today, 303-708-8050, lonetreevet.com. Thanks for joining us today for Haystack Help Radio. Have a great day and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.